Hello and welcome to Queer as Fiction.
Deep into the sex zone.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh God, okay.
Are we all good, ladies?
Wow.
Queer AF.
Shout out to Joanna Burns for making that dope intro you just heard, and shout out to Amanda Duncan for making us sound so pretty.
Hello.
Wow. What the fuck was that? Walter Cronkite.
I love how deep you take a big breath and you hello.
Hello and welcome to Queer as Fiction, the podcast where we write queer fan fiction based on audience suggestions. I'm your Zaddy Amanda, and to my left is
I'm your co-Zaddy Ashley Perez, and to my left is
I'm your step-Zaddy Kirsten King.
It's so normal now. It had a little bit of like a
it
high,
had a little something wanting step to come zaddy, out. A little step nasally zaddy. Step zaddiness in there.
We've started to try to describe what the podcast is because we realize people coming in new.
Yeah.
Have no idea.
No fucking clue.
We just like are not planning for new fans at all. We're like, thank you all for our core fans.
Yeah.
For listening every time.
But like, welcome the new people who are listening to this for the first time.
Yeah,
how are you? Good? Great.
Great.
Great. Moving on. Hopefully you'll like this.
We want you to know that you're joining the ranks of such listeners as Mindy Kaling.
And Hathaway.
Who's somebody else who joined again?
Oh, gosh. Jessica Chastain. I think she's just Chastain.
No, I don't think she listens.
She pops in and out.
Yeah. For those of you who are new.
Gal Gadot has also guested on the podcast.
It's a running joke that Anne Hathaway listens to our podcast, but maybe it's not a joke.
Yeah.
Either way, Anne Hathaway, queer people love you, and you need to know that.
Love you, Anne.
You're very important.
And
to
also,
us.
Thanks for listening, Mindy. Cool. So I think it's that time that we're
going to do a little fan shout out. Bow, bow, bow. The bi-weekly fan shout out. So this fan is actually someone that reached out to us to interview us for her vlog. Her name is Eva from the vlog What Is My Body Doing? And she didn't ask to be shouted out or anything. I just want to shout her out because I think what she's doing is so cool. So she has a whole channel dedicated to sex education, body positivity, LGBTQ relationships, and just like educating people online more. Basically like giving us the sex education that I think we all wish we had because sex ed was so heteronormative.
Sure was. That's really cool.
Yeah. So it's just like, and she's a college student. It's just a very awesome thing. And I chatted with her for a vlog and I'm just a big fan of hers too. So we wanted to shout you out. Thanks, Eva.
Fans shouting out fans.
Cool. And just a reminder that we love it when you leave reviews on iTunes. And that being said, we're going to shout out Liv03.
Liv03,
who posted a review recently saying, "This is honestly the best podcast I've ever listened to. As someone who's newly out, this really helps with understanding yourself in a funny and light manner. It's absolutely amazing, and I love them so much. And we love you, Liv.
We love you,
and
Liv.
And we love all newly out people.
Yeah.
Welcome to the family, baby gays.
Welcome. I also just love that description of like understanding myself in a light way because I think in media, all you have is super depressing, heavy coming out stories.
Look, I just watched Disobedience on Friday again. So
yeah. Yeah.
Don't worry. We like to just be silly.
That's what we do here.
Yep.
We're going to keep it
Speaking
light.
Of which, I'm going to talk about my coming out.
Yeah. Is it light or is it not?
Let's keep it light.
I mean, it's like kind of light.
Coming out light.
So this week we're going to do a milestone because we haven't really gotten that many fanfics. We got a few, but they're a little bit too long. So if you're going to submit fanfiction to us, A, we love that you're doing that. And thank you for the people who have submitted. But B, please keep it to a page so that we can read it in its entirety on the podcast. But Kirsten, tell us about your coming out.
Yeah, so we'll do a fanfic when we have a shorter submission, but my coming out. So the first person I came out to was my high school boyfriend.
What? Solid. Bringing down the patriarchy one man at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have like the language to really explain what was happening.
Me,
but
not hetero.
But it's basically... we were talking and we like watched a movie. God, I can't even remember what movie it was, but I like blushed really hard when there was like a really attractive girl on screen and he like started teasing me and was like, "Oh, you like her, blah, blah, blah." And
how old were you?
I was 18. 17.
Thank God, I thought you were going to be one of those girls that's like, I was 14. And
no,
I was
I was 17.
Not me.
So he started teasing me about it, and I didn't say anything at the time, but then I just, like, kept thinking about it. I was like, why did I feel so weird? And it was always that back and forth, especially being bi, of being like, am I a lesbian and I'm lying to myself? Like, I just always was kind of trying to, like, weigh which way I felt more. And eventually I told him right after we had sex. Not the first time we had sex, but, like, right after one time when we had sex, I was like... Because I ended up, like, you know when things just come into your mind during sex?
Oh, my God.
I was just like, I think about women sometimes. And he was like, he had the most, like, dude reaction ever. He was like, that's hot. Like, nice. And then, like.
He's like, cool.
Yeah. And so he, like, very much, I mean, while he was accepting in some way, he kind of, like, fetishized it. Because he never saw it as, like, something that was for me. He saw it as, like, something that could potentially be introduced into our relationship down the line. And I wasn't really sure I wanted that. I was, like, young and jealous. And, like, I wasn't open to, like, the idea of polyamory at the time. So
Are
I kind
now?
Of... No, I mean, I'm not in a polyamorous relationship now. But, like, I think at the time I was especially, like, young and jealous. So I didn't really bring it up much more. And then
super interesting. So you, it was, like, kind of hard for you because you were like, I'm either gay or I'm straight.
Yeah,
and so you were like, did you just not, like, when did you hear the term bisexual and when did you find out that was,
I mean, I always... I think in college was when I first heard it. And I, as I said last time in the podcast, I guess technically the first person I came out to was myself when I, like, wrote it in my diary. But it was so confusing. It was always, like, this game of tallying up how I felt and trying to figure out which one I truly was. And then being really sad thinking about not being allowed to be attracted to one if I chose the other.
Wow, a true bisexual.
So I didn't really talk to anyone about it for a while until college. And then in college, him and I ended up breaking up.
Well, you dated him from high school to college?
Mm-hmm. We dated for 3.5 years.
Oh. Dang.
And then...
And did he ever try to bring it up again?
Yeah, like in a, like, sexy way, but, like, not like in a, like, I want to talk about your feelings.
Right.
So, and then in college, I ended up making out with this girl, and it was like a weird situation where it was like, again, like, kind of felt like it was for other men. Like it was like in a party situation, but I was elated and ecstatic. So I told my friends at that time that I thought I was bi. And a lot of them reacted like, oh, well, like, are you actually a lesbian? Like, this is your, like, stepping stone to coming out. And I was, like, again, so sad because I just felt like anytime I talked to someone about it, it was, like, ultimately you have to choose. And I don't know. I've honestly had a really hard time with coming out to people up until, like, I don't know. I feel like I just constantly have to come out to people depending on my relationship. And it's not like I'm always bisexual, even if I was dating a man, but it just feels like that constant coming out because people truly do see whatever current relationship you're in as a reflection of your sexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then with my parents, I came out to my mom and my sister. I came out to my sister first and she, like, just did not care at all. She's, like, very chill. She was just like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, are you dating anyone? And I was like, well, no. And she was like, okay, well, tell me when you're dating someone. And I was like, okay.
Sister response.
Yeah.
That is hard, though. I feel like a lot of times when you come out, people are like, okay, who is it? And you're like, no one, I'm a loser.
Yeah, and that was always the thing, too. So, like, I didn't have... Like, not having a girlfriend that felt, like, quote-unquote proof, as, like, fucked up as that sounds, like, felt like I still wasn't valid in the eyes of other people. It really wasn't until I started dating my girlfriend of now 2.5 years that I felt accepted by the community. I, like, never went to queer events. I always identified with that part of myself privately, but I didn't really identify with it publicly until I started dating a woman. And I think that's something a lot of bi women deal with and, like... I give props to women who are, like, in relationships with folks who identify as men because I think that that's, like, and still assert their bisexuality because I always felt, like, a huge pressure, like, I wasn't allowed to. And then coming out to my dad was a harder thing. With my dad, he was very much like, well, you've because I actually didn't come out to my dad until I moved to LA like 4 years ago. Mm. So he was like one of the last people to come out to. And we still don't really talk about it. And, you know, he like asked me about my girlfriend and stuff, and he's gotten a lot better at it. I just think that like in Boston is one of those places that while it's technically like a liberal state, there's such deep pockets of like conservatism and like coming from an Irish Catholic family. It's just like, my family loves me no matter what, but there's some things you just don't talk about.
Yeah.
And queer people are one of them. Like my dad's one point of reference for like a gay person was his cousin who died of AIDS. Mm-hmm. So I think for him it was a lot harder, and I don't blame him for that reaction because I think he truly grew up in a different time, and it's not like he was ever cold to me or mean. It's just he didn't know how to communicate with me for a while.
I think parents just want their kids to be safe. I feel like mm-hmm. all of my dad's questions were about like my future and
totally.
If people were going to respect me and if they were going to be mean to me. And
yeah.
like, at first I took that as like personally he felt that
yeah.
way, but then I've kind of come to realize like, it's actually like he was afraid how other people were going to treat me and if my career would be affected and
yeah.
if like my relationship with my family, you know, all those things.
Yeah. And I think that that was actually my mom's first reaction when I told her. When I told my mom, she was like, but I want you to have kids. And like she just mm-hmm. couldn't conceptualize that like I could have kids in a different way if I ended up with a woman. So
in a less accidental way.
Right. Yeah. It's like way, more intentional.
In
yeah.
a way that you would really have to.
Yeah.
I think parents have it suddenly is like, oh my God, you can't have kids. But it's like, actually, you could still carry and birth your baby.
Right,
like
right.
so much could be the same.
Right. And also, I mean, I've actually never really had the urge to have natural born children. So mm-hmm. that wasn't something that like felt weird for me.
I remember talking to someone about how I was like, well, what if I had a husband and he was impotent? We might still get a
yeah.
sperm donor. And they were like, oh,
yeah.
like that was a big moment.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh yeah, I guess.
I think it's just like that departure from the nuclear family that's hard for especially like more traditional parents to wrap their head around. But I will say that like, I feel consistently like I'm coming out to people when I'm out with my girlfriend. It's like people obviously assume I'm a lesbian, and also just trying to define to people what bisexuality means to me, and like that I identify as like bi, pan, and queer. And like when I define bi I don't define that as like I date cisgendered men and
mm-hmm.
cisgendered women, and I define that as like I'm open to
more than
all,
one.
Yeah, more than one, exactly. So yeah, it's just like coming out can feel constant, and I think it's nice like now having a community of friends that like truly know who I am. Yeah. So
yeah, when we see bi stuff, we buy it for customers.
I know. They like always send me all the bi things, and everyone wished me bi visibility day yesterday. So that was nice.
Oh, it's hope, but not when it comes out.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody had a good bi visibility week
yes.
last week.
We see you.
We see you. I actually, because, and this is not erasure, but because I was bisexual for, or identified as bisexual mm-hmm. for a few years before realizing that I was gay, I did get a lot of my friends in high school were relentless and would do the things where they were like, you're so greedy. God, you have to choose. And they
yeah.
would say it to me jokingly,
yeah.
but it cut deep.
Yeah. I think there's also like this assumption of promiscuity where like mm-hmm. I, in college, some of my friends were like, you're so crazy. And I was like, I'm having like a fourth of the amount of sex you guys are having. Yeah. Like, I'm not crazy. I'm just having sex with men and women. Like,
yeah. I think what you're saying is so, like so many things have come to my mind while you've been talking, just because I think it's like I feel like a lot of bi people suffer erasure from both straight people
oh, totally.
And
yeah.
gay people.
Yeah.
And it's like that, there's so much that like we need to talk about like bi visibility and allowing
mm-hmm.
bi people to be bi. I think it was so cool how there were a lot of like charts going around of
yeah.
like a bunch of the charts for bi visibility today had something where it was like 90% into the opposite gender, 10% into the same gender, and like vice versa and all different forms of it. And it was cool because it said all these people are bi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of it too, of like, I still to this day, like don't really, because people ask me if I'm bi or if I'm queer, and
yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I think I've liked guys before, but it's like, it's hard to tell. You're just drawn to certain people. But I do think a lot of my experience was like, having crushes on guys as a form of protection.
Mm-hmm.
I actually talked to my best friend this last week who, like, when I came out to her, it was really hard for us to keep talking. And she told me something she hadn't before where she said that, like, it was hard for her because she felt like I was lying to her or thought maybe I was lying to her about all the times we talked about guys. And I was like, No, it wasn't that. It was like part of it was self-preservation and feeling like I always had a guy to talk about, but I wasn't lying. You
I
know?
Also think that that just like is indicative of people's like people take comfort in the binary. Like they take comfort in this or that, and like anything that doesn't fall into categories that like you can compartmentalize in that way makes people really uncomfortable.
Same with gender.
Like, yeah, exactly.
So, people feel so uncomfortable with any, you know, mixing.
And I think
gender.
It's just like that discomfort comes from like lack of understanding. And I do think like the queer community is becoming more understanding. But
what are things that you would say specifically to our viewers or our listeners who are like queer, but that you think that the queer community could do better at with the bi community or like within it?
I would like to point out one thing, even though you were definitely asked this. But today there was a comment on Jordan, our friend Jordan, who posted a picture for, and they did the bisexual lighting because she did it through Intu. And she said that she was like a femme-ish bisexual woman. And she had somebody comment that femme and butch are lesbian terms. And that we shouldn't. And that is incorrect. Oh. And I really don't think that we should try to... That's basically trying to push out bisexual and pan women. And I don't think that those are... And that's not even correct. Femme and butch aren't even exclusive terms.
Yeah, I think that there's just a lot of like...
Microaggressions.
There's a lot of microaggressions. When I was single and I was dating, I had a lot of women on apps who like once I said I was bi, they were like... They would either make like a shitty joke or they would straight up say they weren't interested anymore. And I think like those preconceived notions come from like having had shitty experiences with someone that maybe identified that way. But also like, if I have a shitty experience with a straight person or a lesbian, I don't like write off that entire community of people because of that one experience. So I would say like even if you've had a bad experience with a bisexual person, don't let that be the thing that writes off an entire community of people who identify that way. So that's my kind of coming out spiel. But as I say, it's like a process, and you know, it takes time. So do it at your own pace.
It really is like forever, though. I think that was the other thing that struck me about all of our stories is like
we keep coming out.
You keep coming out, and you keep having to do it. And like even now, there's still some people who will find old BuzzFeed videos of me and be like, "Wait, is she gay?" Like, and I'm like, "Whoa, how?"
Yeah.
As much as I'm on the internet, people are still like wondering, and so. But that's okay. At some point, something that I say is like, "It's none of their business." Like you don't have to come out to everyone too. Like. It'll come out naturally in the same way that straight people, you don't necessarily know they're straight until they say what gender their partner is, I guess.
I feel like we're all at the point where we're just assuming everyone is queer.
I really, truly do assume everyone's gay.
We truly are.
Because you are. You all are.
To segue, I want to talk about something else other than my sexuality. But kind of related.
Is it underwear?
It's underwear.
Oh, yes!
I would like to talk about my underwear. And Amanda just got her Tomboy X too, so she can finally, you know,
join the fam. We're all in our underwear right now.
Wow, that's not a fanfic.
There's a
prompt.
Fanfic, yeah.
Just kidding.
We were just talking about how hot it was in here, so there's the prompt.
You were talking about how hot it is.
We are all wearing clothes, but we do love Tomboy X. So this is honestly one of those ads that like I really don't even feel like it's an ad when we say it because we all really love this underwear and actually talk about it off air. Not only is it incredibly comfortable, but it's super cute, and they make a broad selection of underwear that's meant to make people of all different sizes and gender presentations feel comfortable and included.
Everybody.
Yeah, it's just a cool, it's something like that. It's a cool company. They are inclusive. They make cute, high-quality products.
It really also does feel like it's everywhere, both on size and the gender spectrum. Like,
totally.
I love that you can buy bikini underwear there. You can buy boy shorts. You can buy very long ones and loose ones. It's great.
And it is size-inclusive, because whenever people say size-inclusive, I'm always like, yeah, but do they have my size? Mm-hmm. And they do.
Cool. Yeah, that's amazing. So if you guys want to try it out, go to tomboyx.com/queerfiction and check out their special bundles and pack pricing. And Queer's Fiction listeners get an extra 15% off with the code QUEERFICTION. Again, the code is QUEERFICTION for an extra 15% off. So, as I always say, ditch whatever underwear you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X. So go to tomboyx.com/queerfiction.
Yeah. Cool. So, Kirsten, as you are the one who was on the Queerest Fiction Twitter account today.
Yeah. So we did a little poll to see what you guys wanted to do, and it was actually a tie between a Hayley Kiyoko and A Simple Favor. 35% to 35%. Again, one of the ones that I wanted to do, which was the Vietnamese Queer Bachelor, did not win.
That was cool. We should talk about that, though.
But she didn't end up. She didn't end up going.
The girl still made the effort and left. Like, even if the girl didn't go with her, that one girl. So if you guys missed this clip on the Vietnamese Bachelor, a woman confessed her love to, she said to the Bachelor, like, she didn't want the rose, and she confessed her love to another woman, like, told her, and she was like, will you come home with me? It was so cute. They were, like, both crying, and the woman was like, yes. And then she, like, says goodbye to the guy. But then apparently after this clip went around, which was making the rounds, I guess the guy, like, ran after her, and she ended up, the woman who was the second woman to leave, she went back to him.
They convinced her to come back to the show.
Yeah. Which, that's okay if she's bisexual, but it was a bummer for love.
Yeah, such a bummer for queer love.
Bummer.
But we got some people suggesting that we do that, but that did not win out A Simple Favor, and Hayley Kiyoko did. So this week, since A Simple Favor is in theaters, and we all just saw that, and we're obsessed with it, and I'm probably going to be Blake Lively for Halloween.
And I'm definitely seeing it again.
Yeah.
We're going to do A Simple Favor.
A Simple Favor, but much gayer, because gayer,
it's already gay. Yeah.
I could not believe, my mind was blown how actual queer
I
was.
Know.
We were just, like, consistently staring at each other, mouth agape, like grabbing each other's arms, just being like, what is happening? This is amazing.
I was just on the edge of my seat and kept turning to Kirsten being like, what the fuck is happening?
It was incredible.
It
was like,
stays gay. It wasn't like gay bait or like queer baiting.
No, it stayed gay.
I think the best way that I was like able to describe it is it feels like it's a 2-hour exploration into the question, do I want to be her or do I want to fuck
her?
Yes.
Yeah. It also felt like the porn that I want to see in the world, because it was like just enough plot that I could get into it. And like, I mean, the ending would probably end a little bit differently in a porno version, but I was like, oh yeah, this is like what I would be into if I was watching porn. I think that's I whispered that to Amanda in the theater, which is creepy.
You were like, is this a porn? So cool. So we're going to do... are we doing characters? Or are we doing...
I think we should do them, actresses. Because I don't want to spoil anything for anyone.
We don't want to... If you guys haven't seen it, we don't want to spoil it. So we just want to build up that sexual chemistry.
I think we should just pick three situations like we did with Harry and Megan... Or Megan and Kate. Excuse me. Not Harry. Megan and Kate.
Oh, right. I was like, wait, what's wrong?
So, okay.
So what are you doing?
Okay, so I think I'm going to do them... on a late night talk show promoting the film, like in the, I love a good dressing room scene after.
I'm going to do their chemistry read to find out, which is when they find out if the actors have been cast together. They like usually give them a scene to do, which I imagine would be the kiss in this or something akin to that, just to see if they like each other.
They wouldn't do the kiss for a chemistry read, would they?
Sometimes they do.
Okay. Well, I was going to do the day that they filmed the kiss.
Okay, you do that then. Great. That and I'll do different chemistry.
All right. Type 15 and we'll be back.
Okay. Type 15.
It's number 15.
We're back, right, guys.
And we're back. I give you the Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively chemistry read. Ugh, I do not want to do this, Anna yelled into a pillow, pouting before she had to hop in her Prius to head over to the casting office. Why, Brittany said, grabbing the pillow from Anna's hand, dropping her keys in instead. We had to do this before Pitch Perfect. You've done this 1,000 times. Why are you being so weird about this one? I don't want to talk about it, Anna yelled into a couch since her pillow had been taken away. Oh, I see what's going on here, Brittany laughed. Someone has a little crush, she teased her. Do not, and even if I did, she wouldn't like me because I was such a loser the first time I met her, Anna pouted. Wait, when did you meet Blake? Oh, was it when you and Ryan did that movie? Yes, Anna retorted. I don't want to talk about it. I thought we were bonding, and then I made a joke about us having a threesome, and then she got quiet and kind of just walked away quietly after that. It was terrible. Well, maybe... Actually, yeah, that's not great. That's a hard one, buddy. I'm sorry, Brittany said. Anyway, have fun. Be smooth. Anna dreaded every moment of her drive and arrived almost 40 minutes early as she normally does. She debated taking a nap in her car, but then she didn't want to risk falling asleep in her car again. She pouted her way to the stairs, wishing there was a bar on the studio lot somewhere so she could grab a quick drink to stiff her nerves. So what if Blake was super hot? She could deal with having a crush on her set. I mean, her and Brittany were still best friends.
"You got this, Kendrick," she whispered to herself, when suddenly she heard a rustle behind her. Holy fuck, it was Blake. God, why did she always do such idiotic things in front of this woman? "Want a martini?" Blake said charmingly and beautifully while the wind somehow perfectly blew in her face like a well-placed fan at a Beyonce concert. "Oh my God, do you have one? That would actually be amazing. Are you nervous too?" Anna blathered out. "Oh, I was just being Emily, you know, staying in character," Blake said sheepishly, clearly feeling bad for Anna. "Oh, cool. Excuse me while I go stand by my car ignition," Anna joked. "No, it's really fine. It was kind of cute, honestly. I could actually go for a martini right now," Blake said. "I mean, this is the first time I'll actually get to show my bisexuality on camera, so I'm a little nervous about that." "Oh shit, look at the time," Blake said, looking down at her watch. They were late. Anna was left shocked, not knowing how to deal with the information she had just received. Did Blake Lively just say, "my bisexuality," as in this bitch is actually bi? What the fuck? Great, now I'm just going to be 100 times more nervous and also wondering if I actually have a shot. Fuck, 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 Anna thought as she raced towards Blake. "All right, so now I just kiss her," Anna said to the casting director, Allison Jones. "Well, technically she kisses you, Anna," Allison responded. "Oh yeah, right, my bad," Anna said, shaking her head and wishing she were dead. "It's fine, I'm dying to kiss you too," Blake said under her breath. Wait, was she talking to me? Am I hearing things? Anna wondered. "All right, ladies, whenever you're ready," Allison said, starting the camera again. And before Anna could finish getting her line out, Blake was kissing her and pushing her back against the couch they were on kind of aggressively. Holy shit, was this actually happening? God, her lips were so soft. Am I so turned on because I watch so much Gossip Girl? Anna's mind raced. Great stuff. Cut, Allison said. But Blake was still kissing Anna, and Anna was not about to stop her. Before she knew it was happening, Blake was straddling her, and Anna was completely out of breath. God, she was about to pass out when, thank goodness, Blake finally stopped. "Sorry, Allison," Blake said. "Wanted to make sure you really saw what we had." "No worries, Blake. All great. Thanks to both of you. We'll be in touch," Allison said. Anna was calmly trying to regain herself in the background, wiping Blake's lip gloss off her mouth. She felt dizzy, and right as she was about to get up, Blake offered her hand out to her. And so quickly that no one noticed, she dipped her head by Anna's. "The answer to the question you asked the first time we met is yes. I'd love to have a threesome. See you on set." The end.
Wow. I love that you're starting the rumor that Blake Lively is an out bisexual.
I had a moment where I was like,
no, I wish that that was confirmed. That's just truly fanfic. Oh,
I know, okay. But isn't it everyone's fantasy after that movie?
Oh my God. Yeah, the chemistry was like too good for them not to be into each other.
That's what I was saying. I was like, in my mind, I never know where these are going, and clearly this is what my brain wanted to happen.
5 out of 5 martinis for me.
Oh, yeah. Martinis. Yeah. So you're like, guys, like how I put Allison Jones in there?
Yeah.
The famed casting director.
That was
name
great.
Drops from Allison Jones.
I think she was a casting director
for this.
Though.
Yeah, that's awesome. Nice.
That was great. I mean, God, the movie was great. The fanfic's great. The dreams I have tonight about it will be great.
Amanda, did I give you some good Anna Kendrick
awkward lines?
Yeah,
you
sound
did.
Like that? Okay, no, I was very worried because Amanda's a big Anna Kendrick fan, and I wanted to capture her voice.
Like our fandom for Harry Potter is equivalent to Amanda's for Anna Kendrick. Yes.
Wow. Okay, I'm not that.
I mean, you know the voice of her character.
The voice of her
character. Yeah, I know the voice of her character. Yeah. Yeah. I still want to be friends with you someday, Anna. Sorry that we're writing this about you. So thank you for listening.
And Mindy and Anne.
Yeah.
And Justine, if you're there.
Okay. All right. So I'm doing the...
Hey, you look like you're blushing a little. Did I make you blush with my fanfic?
Oh, maybe.
Wow.
Or it was you guys accusing me of being a huge Anna Kendrick fan, which I'm a fan, but not that big. I want to be friends with
Anna
Kendrick.
She just wants to clarify it's not creepy. Okay.
It's not creepy. I want to work with her someday. And this is not helping.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let me read mine now.
Should I put the blow-up doll of Anna Kendrick away then?
Oh my God, how did you get that out so quickly? okay, so I'm doing... Oh, I didn't name it. Let's name it...
The kiss. Mine's the chemistry, yours is the kiss.
Mine's the kiss, okay. Want to order pizza? No. Want to get a pizza? What is that line? Blake grabbed her script off the table in her trailer. She was rehearsing lines for a scene that she was super nervous about. The scene that she knew everyone would talk about. The kiss. She popped a couple of mints when a knock on the door of her trailer startled her. "Come in," she shouted as she flopped onto the couch in her gray suit. Anna Kendrick opened the door. "Hey, girl," she said, coming in.
Blake was surprised to see Anna this close to going back to set. Anna's usually relaxing in her trailer until the last moment, but here she was, ready to go for their first kissing scene. Do you have a mint? Anna asked. Because, you know, your face is about to be on mine. Blake chuckled. Yeah, here. She handed Anna a tin of breath mints. Anna popped three. That bad, huh? Blake inquired. I had sour cream and onion chips without even thinking, Anna confessed. Well, then by all means, take the tin, baby. Blake was playing it cool. She didn't want to let Anna know that she was nervous. That wasn't very Emily of her. Anna took the tin and went to head for the door. She turned quickly. Do you want to rehearse the scene? Blake was surprised by this. Sure, she squeaked out. We don't have to rehearse the kiss. I mean, obviously we shouldn't. That would be weird, right? Anna rambled on. No, it's fine. We're professionals doing a professional job. Right, yes, that. We are that. Anna smiled. She sat down next to Blake. I just love your character so much. I want to play a character that confident, but I feel like I keep getting cast in these, like, kind of awkward roles. Oh, you could definitely play an Emily. Really? Anna scooted closer to Blake. Blake's breathing deepened. Sure, why don't we switch roles for fun?
Yes! Fuck yes! What?
Okay, baby, Anna smiled. Good start, Blake chuckled. Anna got up and threw on one of Emily's signature blazers over her shoulder. I'm making a martini, you're having one, Anna told Blake. She started to take out the ingredients. Whoa, not a real one, we have to film. And before Blake could finish, the martini was done and in her hand. You're having one, Anna said with a confidence Blake had never encountered. Ashley's face right now is killing
yeah,
me.
Yeah, this is wild.
It's so juicy, my mouth is agape.
She was usually the top, but was she ready to submit to Anna? Yeah, she was. Yes, ma'am, Blake took the martini and sipped it. Anna sat down and threw off the blazer. Tell me your secret, she said without a hint of a smile. Blake was intimidated. Oh, me and my husband had a threesome. No, not Emily's secrets, yours. That was mine. Oh, that's it? Come on, that's a pretty good secret. I'm married to Ryan Reynolds. It's okay. It's a little FX. I'm looking for HBO. Tell me another secret. I don't know. Anna stands up and attempts to tower over Blake. Tell me you're attracted to me. What? Tell me how you look at me. I don't lie. Tell me. I look at you longingly. Stand up, Anna demanded. Okay, you know Emily's not like a dominatrix, right? Kiss me. What? Jesus, do I have to do everything myself? Anna pulls Blake's face in for a kiss, a long kiss. Blake sucked into it, and that's when Anna broke. So it'll probably be something like that later, right? Anna said, breaking character and smiling. Yeah, sure. Blake was in a daze, and as Anna frolicked out of the trailer, I hope it's that good later.
Wow. Oh. Everything happened with consent, though.
Did you hear Kirsten's... I don't think you guys heard Kirsten's small... Wow.
Wait, when?
I literally happened back and I was like, whoa, this is intense. Because also, like...
Now Kirsten's blushing. After you finished reading it, she literally went, wow.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was like a... That was truly the A Simple Favor porn.
Yeah.
That was the porn counterpart.
50 Shades of Favor.
Yeah. Wow.
That was great. Holy shit.
5 out of 5 martinis.
These are more sexual than
that was very sexual.
That one, yeah, that was.
Was
like,
it though? They only kissed.
It felt, I guess it was because she was so assertive and like domineering that I was like, whoa.
That was very, now you can't be friends with Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, sorry, you can't. The possibility of friendship is over.
Fuck. Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay, Kirsten.
Okay, well, mine is going to not be that crazy, but it'll be...
It wasn't that crazy. I feel like...
You just did a great job. Yeah. I'm going to say 6 out of 5 martinis.
Are you guys just not into the...
With a twist. No, I like
no,
that.
No, it was a very, like, taking control topping.
I feel like she had to.
Yeah, no, I love the switching. I love the switching roles and the acknowledgement of, like, the different characters they typically play. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's mine. I don't know how well follow that. So tell me about that first day shooting, said Trevor Noah to Anna and Blake as they sat across from him in the studio recording for his late night show. It was Anna and Blake's 10th day straight on the press tour, doing interviews for their upcoming film, A Simple Favor. Anna knew she should be exhausted by it, but she had to admit she still wasn't sick of this. Blake's energy on stage was infectious, and tonight was no different. Blake grinned and leaned forward towards Trevor, seamlessly unbuttoning her top button on her blazer as she did so. I knew we'd hit it off immediately, Blake said. We had met before, but that first day filming, the chemistry was just there, she said, squeezing Anna's knee under the table as she did. A chill went down Anna's spine. Ever since their chemistry read, her and Blake seemed to be incapable of, well, turning it off. And how did you feel, Trevor said, jolting Anna back to the present. I mean, she's a Greek goddess, so I was totally cool, Anna said. The audience laughed, eating up her effortless charm. After a few more minutes of banter, Trevor wrapped up the interview and they got the green light to exit stage. Thanks so much, you two, Trevor said. I swear, you guys are more compatible than some of the married people I interview, he joked. The two made their way back towards their dressing rooms. But just as Anna was about to continue down the hallway towards her own, Blake grabbed her hand and stopped her. Hang out with me, baby, she said. Blake had admittedly picked up on a few of her character Emily's mannerisms, and unfortunately, Anna had picked up on some of Stephanie's nerves. Next thing you know, you're going to offer me a martini, Anna joked, trying to play it cool. Blake raised her eyebrow. We'll see what they have in the dressing room, she grinned. When they got into Blake's dressing room, Blake shrugged off her blazer and went for the mini fridge. She pulled out two mini bottles of wine. It's not a dry gin martini, but it'll do, she said, handing Anna a bottle. Anna laughed and opened it, taking a sip. This has been fun, getting to know you better, I mean, Anna said. It's been fun for me too, Blake said, finally dropping her Emily act. I can't believe it's almost over, Anna said, sounding more sad about it than she meant to. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed. Don't get me wrong, I miss being home and all, but I'll also miss you, Blake said, taking a sip of her wine. You too, Anna said. Blake offered her a cheers and they both took a sip. Anna didn't know what to say next or why she was so nervous. They had done tons of press things before. Why did tonight feel so different? You know, Ryan and I are open, Blake said.
Yes, our stories fit together.
Anna's stomach flipped. This was the moment she had been waiting for. Something she had wondered but hadn't dared to ask. Oh yeah, she said, trying to be coy. Yeah, Blake said, smiling. If that's information you're interested in knowing, she followed up. I mean, I'm not interested in knowing it, Anna said. Blake laughed. I mean, yes, I'm interested, Anna said, clarifying. You're so cute when you're nervous, Blake said, taking a step towards her. But do you think this will complicate stuff? I mean, we have a couple weeks left of the press tour and you have Ryan and I don't know. I don't want to make stuff messy, Anna said, rambling a bit now. Blake moved closer to her. Life is messy. That's the fun part, she said. Anna's heart was beating out of her chest. Blake was just mere inches away from her lips now. Despite having kissed multiple times on set, Anna couldn't help but feel nervous. This wasn't just pretend. This would be a real kiss with real implications. And once it happened, it would make both of their feelings real too. I don't know how to do this, Anna stammered. Blake brushed her hair behind her ear gently. Just pretend it's the movies, baby, Blake said, leaning in and kissing her.
Ah, just pretend it's the movies, baby.
You guys, two things I've realized. One, we could all write for Anna Kendrick, as we all know her voice extremely well. Number two, did we just start 1,000 rumors? Is this the podcast that launched 1,000 rumors about Blake and Anna Kendrick?
We started 1,000 rumors about an open marriage, Blake's bisexuality, Anna Kendrick's pining.
This is where we get stuck with a bunch of defamation
stuff. Yes. Here's a note. This is all made up. It's all fan fiction. It's just our dreams.
Yeah. Wow. That is... We clearly all like the movie because that was the best podcast we've had.
I need to see this movie again.
Yeah, yes. And you all need to see it too. If you guys have listened to this and haven't seen it yet, please go see
this
movie.
Let this be what inspires you to see it.
Because this is not sponsored.
No. Yeah. No, but it is gay.
If I could sponsor it, I would.
Yeah.
Shout out Paul Feig if you ever want some female writers. I know you like to work with a lot of female writers.
Yeah, we can write for Anna. Also, we should just be writing like an E.L. James, like 50 Shades, but
yes.
Because is this how our multi-billion-dollar empire is going to start?
Yes, a fan fiction spinoff of A Simple Favor becomes our queer 50 Shades.
Wow.
Perfect.
I like the dynamics. Man. Everyone did so good today.
That
Six
was
out of
great.
Five for you, too. I
Thank
just
you.
Felt.
Five out of five.
God, I wish we had a martini to really get in the mood, but as we said, Ashley's sick, so that would not be good for her.
Kirsten gets wild when she has
I fucking
martinis.
Love martinis, guys. I really do. And I'm going to be
There's
Blake
some more
for Halloween.
Fanfic.
I'm going to be Blake for Halloween. I'm going to have a martini, and I'm just going to live my best life.
Are you going to just, when every time you meet a new person,
just
rip,
rip
off
my undershirt
cuff?
Off? Oh, yes.
That is the best part of the whole movie.
It really is. It really is. Ugh.
Is there a gif of it yet, or no?
There's got to be.
I know that some people have, like, definitely pirated the kiss scene.
Yeah.
As they should. Gifts, yeah. For all of humanity's sake. Okay, so our question of the week is, exactly how creepy can you get with a crush?
Yeah, because A Simple Favor definitely borders the line of, like, creepy.
It's, like, a little bit swim fan, but it's so cute because it's Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, and I think, like, what what we mean and like how creepy do you get with a crush is because like when you like someone, you're constantly checking their socials. You're just so fucking aware of them.
I think the hardest thing when you have a crush is to not say their name a lot.
Yes.
That's the hardest thing.
Oh my gosh.
Amanda has a crush right now.
Yeah.
When do you not have a crush though?
I mean, I have a crush all the time.
It's fine. Like I have a crush on Noah Centineo still. Though it's wearing off on me a little bit. But I still
his Instagram. I think your trick is the best. If you have a crush on someone, follow their Instagram.
Oh yeah, especially a famous person, it really ruins it for you quick.
Has not.
I think there's like a level of I think you obviously have to like have boundaries just so you don't get too deep into having that crush. Like if you're just checking their Twitter all the time, like if you're checking it more than you like look at your own shit, then like you need to.
I agree with you, but it is so hard to do when you have a crush. It's impossible to not like. Basically, it's like, you know how they're always like, guys think about sex every 7 seconds. I'm like, how could that be possible? But when you have a crush on someone, it's every seven seconds. You're like, what are they doing? Yeah. Remember that thing they said? I should send them a picture
of
this.
The deepest I got and the worst was I was like really deeply creeping on a crush a couple years ago, and I was logged into my LinkedIn, and I went to their LinkedIn account.
God.
And so then they I viewed their LinkedIn.
Because if you're logged in, LinkedIn is.
Yeah. And I was LinkedIn creeping, which is the worst part.
That's bad. Like, I've never done that.
Well, I don't know.
You're like, what's her professional background?
What are they endorsed for, and how will that translate in bed?
I'm trying to think of, like, the weirdest thing that I've done when I had a crush. I mean, you know something kind of sad and queer that I would do? Because, like, I would have crushes on girls and I, like, just couldn't really tell anyone. I would only write I wouldn't write their names in, like, notebooks and stuff. I would do it when I was in the shower and it was, like, misty so that I could, like, get rid of it before.
That's cute.
That's really cute.
I know. It'll be in our YA novel.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, that's a cute moment.
But yeah. I'm trying to, I know I must have been, like, a
What's
creeper.
What's the creepiest thing you guys have ever done with a crush? I think the LinkedIn thing is,
pretty
creepy. That's it for me.
I'm trying to think of mine. Hold on. Give me a second.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back at... I know I've judged crushes' boyfriends really badly.
Sad. That's an extra layer of, like, you shouldn't have this crush.
I always did that, though, too. I, like, I had so many crushes. I basically was, like, a fill-in boyfriend for a lot of my friends. And then every time they got a boyfriend, it just, like, completely crushed my heart. And then they would tell me shitty stuff about them. I'd be like,
I'm always really good at compartmentalizing crushes that, like, are unavailable to me. Like, once I know someone's unavailable to me, it's actually hard because then I become, like, the best version of myself around them because I'm not nervous anymore because I think it'll never happen.
Teach us your ways, Jedi.
I got better at that. The older I got. Like, I don't crush on straight women anymore. But I definitely, in my mid-early 20s, would crush
same.
On straight women.
Same.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like a lot of the people I hooked up with in college were straight, too. But I also feel like that was, like, my own internalized shit, not being ready for something.
Sure.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you've done?
I'm trying to think.
Come on, guys. I give you my LinkedIn.
No, I know.
Beyond social media, I feel like there have been times... on some past crushes where I'm like just so into deeply stalking them that I know like how many likes that they have on their Twitter.
Or like accidental details about their lives. Yeah.
Oh my God. The worst is when you're so deep into their Instagram. Like on Facebook, you can scroll as much as you want because it's really hard to accidentally like something. On Instagram, it's like Minecraft.
Accidental? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Or Mindswiper.
It's like fingers.
And also, whenever you are showing that friend your crush, you're like, but don't like anything. My phone is on fire. Do not like this picture.
I had a crush on some. I've only ever tried to like make a move on once successfully and now I have a girlfriend. Second,
brag about
the
it.
The first time though was very sad. I like went camping with my friends and we like all it got rainy. I mean, this was where I was like, oh, this has to happen. It got rainy and we couldn't stay in our tent because we like didn't have a tarp for the floor. So we like put the back seat down of like the I think our friend had a truck or a van or something and we were all sleeping there and I was sleeping next to her. And I was like, oh, I just want to, like, cuddle with her. And I remember trying to decide whether or not I would, like, put my arm around her or not. Mm-hmm. And you guys, it was so funny. I did for, like, a second, but I didn't lean the weight of my arm around her. So I was just... kind of like hovering my over arm her. Hovering over her, basically. And then I like let my elbow rest because I was so tired. And then she kind of stirred it and I like moved it really quickly.
Oh my God.
So that was like a weird crush thing IRL. Most of the rest of it is just like weird stalking. Of
Actually,
people.
One of my first crushes, the first boyfriend happened in like a laying next to each other situation.
I definitely have had moments where I've gone above and beyond for crushes because I always try to be friend first. And so there was like a point where I had a crush.
Like an Eagle Scout, friend first. Leave no trash behind.
There was a point where I think it was I was in high school and I had a crush on this girl who was in college. And I was like, I was like, yeah, I can come like help you move out of your dorm. That's fine.
Oh my God. Yeah, you really do. Down. Like you become extra like helpful to.
I definitely am that person. It's like, yeah, I was like, oh, I'll plan a whole road trip. It'll be great.
Once I feel like someone doesn't like me and they're my crush, I need to have like an away period from them where I'm like, I'm just gonna get over
you. Message on AIM.
I'm gonna like get over you. I don't like tell them I'm doing this, but I'm like, I'm gonna not see you for a while, and then when I come back, I'm not gonna have a crush on you.
Do write them a love letter and put it in your mom's hat box?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, crushes are fucking weird.
They're hard.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Suck. That's what was so great about the movie, though. Like, it's like the lines between a crush when you're like, I think the craziest part is when you're like, wait, do they like? Wait, what the hell?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool.
Just keep crushing, y'all. Yeah. It's fun. It'll be
keep
good stories.
Crushing.
But
it.
Maybe don't go on their LinkedIn.
Yeah, don't go on their LinkedIn and also, like, you know, respect people's boundaries, all that. Yeah. Whatever. All right. If you guys want to find us on social,
check out Queer as Fic
on Twitter.
Yeah, at Queer as Fic.
And Girlship TV on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
I'm at Kirsten L. King on Instagram and Kirsten King _ on Twitter.
I'm at ITS Ashley Perez on everything.
And I'm at Awkward Holland.
And you can find us all there.
If you want to support queer content, please donate to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/girlshiptv. If you don't have the money to support, that's fine. Just let people know about this podcast.
And write fanfic about us and send it to
girlshiptv@gmail.com.
Cool. See you around.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.